Now back to Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, two guys who always tear up at the end of Finding Nemo.
You're listening to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, only on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a first-time guest on the line, Nicole Rowley, who is a third-year student at the MSU Vet School. Welcome to the show, Nicole.
Thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Nicole, how have you gone about affording the MSU Vet School? We've been talking this morning about the cost of it. And as a student, how have you been keeping up with the cost of going to vet school?
Well, every student sort of has to approach it differently depending on where they're coming from. I did come more relatively fortunately than most other students with both a military background, so I had some funding from them. I've also had to take out loans, federal loans as well, to help support, which is the way majority of students tend to go, either through scholarships that the school helps organize and coordinate and through federal loans and sometimes, as a very last resort, private bank loans to help fund our education.
Do you think that the average student coming into vet school understands, grasps, and has a game plan on how they intend to deal with the debt load, or do they kind of go up to the poker table and say, you know, let's roll the dice?
I think there's a little bit of everything. Depending on their own personal experience, monetary experience, whether they've been out in the workforce having to live on a steady paycheck versus, say, coming directly from a parent's or living just on undergrad, everybody comes in understanding that we are going to leave with a huge debt load. It hits some people a little harder midway through when you actually start calculating, you start getting your loan statements of how much you owe. And I think some people actually start out with a little bit more realistic understanding of how steep that debt load is and with a little bit more of a plan maybe on how they're going to approach that and pay that off.
I would imagine
some
probably some anxiety.
Yes.
Which can be in itself a problem or a motivator.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yes, it works both ways. We did have a class where we actually had an exercise. We had to sit down, calculate out what our debt load was and what our realistic expectations of starting pay would be, and actually then how much do you have to live off of. That was a big eye-opener for many people. Some people, of course, can get around that by just not thinking about that and try to push that stressor down. And there were a few people that were really pretty freaked. We luckily have a nice support system here that, as those concerns start popping up, we have people we can go and talk to try to help manage that additional stress.
It seems like because it's not as large of a environment as undergrad, there does seem to be a lot of friend among friend. I mean, I notice when a vet student comes in to the store, commonly they're with two or three other vet students. Is there a bit more camaraderie that kind of helps you get through this?
There's a very strong support system among your friends and among the faculty. You always find a mentor or somebody who can help support you, guide you through it. You're able to definitely, vet school is one of those things that I think you have to go through it to really understand what other people are going through as well. And it does help tend to bond people too. It's very stressful beyond just saying that we have a huge class load. For some reason, it always manages to be an emotional up and down, and everybody's going through that. So, yeah, I think we tend to make very good lifelong friends going through vet school.
And, Nicole, when you graduate from school, how much thought does that burden drive people towards some of the specialization as opposed to being more of a general practitioner?
I definitely think it's an influence. As a third year just starting clinics, I think a lot of my classmates were starting to look at that. We're just very beginning starting to figure out, okay, wait a second, where's my job openings? What am I actually interested in? Which is the great joys of looking at clinics is it'll give us a wide experience to kind of help key us towards that. And I do believe that there are people who end up choosing a job because they need to pay the debt load versus because that is the driving passion of where they really want to go. Eventually, they'll probably lean back towards that. But I think a lot of people do tend to choose based on, can I pay my bills? Can I pay off my debt?
Has there been a lot of conversation about the new legislation that's changing this year as to the more patient way of and the more lenient way of paying off the 20 years instead of 25 and a bit more adjusted down, accommodating what your cost of living is?
I'm not 100% sure I know exactly what legislation you're talking about. When I came in from almost day one, they do the conversation there is you're going to be taking out loans, you're going to have a huge debt load, and your ideal is to find a job where you can live how you want to live while paying off your debt. But there's also been discussions on the fact that some places and sometimes that's not honestly realistic, your income is not going to be sufficient, in which case there is always the option with the federal loans in particular of doing an economic hardship where basically you apply, you let them know, hey, look, this is what my income is. I cannot financially afford to meet the $1,500, $2,000 monthly loan that I have to pay back, and then they will adjust what your monthly payment is based on your income. And then my understanding, and I haven't looked deeply into that as of yet, is that after either about 25 years or so, if you've been working consistently and you've been working underneath, paying back underneath an economic hardship, federal loans, and I have no idea about private loans through banks, but the federal loans will forgive the rest of your debt if you are financially unable to make it, although you've been working and you've been making payments on time as you can.
Well, and what they've changed, and I don't want to labor this, but what they've changed is made it 20 years before that's forgiven. And at the same time, they've changed the rules a little bit to help accommodate and make your monthly payment possibly smaller, because they're now going to take into consideration some of the other payments you have to make as a required person to eat, breathe, and live on the planet. So,
that would be a nice relief. I have not heard of that as of yet, and that's not to say that they haven't announced it or it hasn't been published someplace.
I think you've been too busy. You've probably been too busy.
Yeah, they're too busy in school, Rick. They're not focused on that. Nicole, I have a question. We're just about out of time, but I would like to ask you, in your conversations with other students, how much has this discovery of, wow, this is how much money it's going to cost me when I get out of school, has that affected people or made them rethink, I wish I wouldn't have done this, or possibly go in other directions, or are they still pursuing their dream?
Majority of people still pursue our dreams. That's what we do, except we know that this is, a lot of us, where we want to be, where we fit in our life, where we will find our joy in our profession, and this is where we want. And you kind of accept the fact that financial debt is a consequence of that. But I have heard, nobody in my own class, but it is, of course, among the room, if I have heard of people who have faced that and said, you know, this is not something I want to live with, and have changed their careers because of that.
Well, it's an unfortunate circumstance of the reality that a lot of us are facing these days, and it's unfortunate. But, Nicole, we do want to wish you the best of luck in pursuing your degree. And when you do get out, make sure you speak with Rick again. We'd love to hear a successful conclusion to this story.
I will. Thank you very much for having me on.
It was our pleasure to have you. We've been speaking this morning with Nicole Rowley, who's a third-year student at the MSU Vet School. And, Rick, we've run into that trouble we run into every week. And on this topic, I don't even think if we had an extra hour, we could have finished it. I think this is one we're going to have to revisit quite a few times throughout this year, because it's clearly a major issue that's affecting the pet community in a lot of ways that maybe they haven't thought about. But it can have a very specific effect on everyone's reality. So on behalf of our producer, Mark Price, and my co-host in the studio, Rick Pruse, this is Lee Cohen wishing all of you a great weekend and a great week ahead. We'll talk to you next Saturday for the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS. And please take good care of your pets. Have a great weekend, everybody.